very personal. This is getting personal between Paul and Timothy. Timothy had been called into the ministry, not by Paul, but by the Lord. And we know that then Timothy became the bishop of the church at Ephesus, whom Jesus refers to first in Revelation chapter 2, because it was the premier church, other churches. And if you listen to Brother Clock, I don't know where he got his information of, but that church could have run over 100,000 people. Not that I doubt him. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee. Unbothered faith. Pure faith, let's put it that way. Which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois. He knew their names. And thy mother Eunice. And I am persuaded that in thee also. You know me. My question is this. Where's Grandpa? Where's Dad? The faith rested in the women of the house. I don't know about the men. But somehow that faith got through Lois to Eunice to Timothy. And that unfeigned, that believing faith is there. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, and this is what Brother Chris preached on, that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. He said, I confirmed the gift that God has put in you by the putting on of my hands. And that I don't have time to go into all of what that means. But if an apostle put his hands on you and ordained you to something, he was recognizing God's call, just as we've done for many years, even in the modern era. We accept God's call upon a person's life. But in saying that, he goes on in verse 7, for God has not given us the spirit of fear. If you find yourself fretting and fearful, just understand the source. God doesn't bring forth the spirit of fear, but, you know, and I can go into Hebrews chapter 13 and so forth, but I'm not going to. But God has not given us. Now, maybe Timothy was a little timid. He was very young and the job very large. But Paul is telling him, listen, by the Holy Spirit, do not be fearful. But what God has given us is power, dunamis, miracle-working power. Miracle working thrust into wherever we would never go naturally, but the Holy Ghost in power. But He's given us the spirit of love, the motivation to go. Agape. That push. Because we love God, because we love God, we love people. Loving God is easier. People who we never love in the natural because of Jesus. And of a sound mind. A self-controlled mind. Not wild thing. It's clear thinking. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. Most of the time in the first century, if you declared your allegiance to Jesus Christ, you would be persecuted by people around you. If you were Jewish, you would definitely be persecuted. If you were a Gentile, you were leaving those gods for a different god. And there was nothing fun about being a Christian necessarily in the first century. But I'm so thankful today the people didn't back up. They didn't give up. Hallelujah. I'm thankful for brave saints. But let me tell you, if they weren't, you wouldn't be here. And I wouldn't be here. So So therefore, be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of the Lord, nor of me as prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel. There are afflictions that go along with the gospel, especially if you teach it or preach it publicly. There are certain amounts of afflictions that go with it, and you cannot get around it. Just go to work tomorrow and share the gospel with somebody and see if there be afflictions that follow that. Be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel, not according to your ability, not according to your oratory skills, but according to the power of God. We go through the difficulties of serving Jesus and then declaring His gospel to be true, not according to our power. Our power is limited. But once again, the Greek word there is dunamis. We suffer the afflictions that go through them by the dunamis of God, by the power of God. Hallelujah. Causes us to go forward when we want to go in reverse. And verse 9 is my text. Who hath saved us? Anybody happy you're saved here tonight? He has saved us, comma, and called us with an holy calling. Now, this is very, very important that we get this. Not according to our works, not according to our ability, not according to our financial status, not according to our height, thank you, Jesus, not according to our weight, not according to whether you have hair on your head or not, not according to our intellect, our ability, it's not according to our IQ. Not according to our coordination. Not according to what our parents did or our grandparents did. But according to His own purpose and grace. God calls people for His purpose by His grace. It's not my purpose. Let me tell you. My purpose did not have me starting out in the ministry where I was telling the guys up here it'd be just about the last church. I was telling them, the reason I got to be pastor of that church is because nobody in any denomination, they couldn't get a woman to come. Nobody wanted this church. That's how I got my start. So it wasn't according to my purpose. It was according to His purpose. When I saw this next phrase, I sat up, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. I was not a teenager yet, and it was Sunday night. An old stone church. The first few rows were old white pews that were uncomfortable to sit in. The last half of the sanctuary, which was about half the size of this one, we had theater seats. Old wooden slatted theater seats that the back of the seats would go up. And if somebody's clothing stuck to the bottom of one, it would slap down and we would all laugh. I was kneeling, it would have been right there on the front pew, and the Lord says, you know, Scott, I want to use you for my glory. And I said, all right, I didn't know any better or any worse. I said, that's fine with me. But then I had to go tell my dad. I said, Dad, I think the Lord's calling me to preach God's word. I thought that would be the end. Of course, my father did not do that. He grabs me by the arm and says, get up here, and you tell the people. And I was like, I'm not that sure about it. Like, uh, And so from a young age, I knew what God wanted me to do. But friends, and I'm not going to preach long tonight, all right? The Bible says we were called. And, well, let me tell you something. That night, a Sunday night after we got home from church, my mother pulled me aside and said, this does not give you permission to use this word. Scotty, does not give you permission to use that. She said, Scotty, listen to me. She said, when I was expecting you, when you were in my womb, and I was not real thrilled because we didn't have enough food to feed the two kids we had, the Lord spoke to me. He says, that baby in your womb is going to be a preacher. It would have taken a lot of pressure off had she told me that before. She said, I didn't tell you before because I want you to get that right from God. And I said, well, all right then. So I always said, you know, the Lord had called me to preach from my mother's womb. But that's not true. Listen to me. Before the world began. Before the world began, God looked down through the portals of the future and said, I'm going to need somebody here. I'm going to need somebody there. And I'm going to need somebody there. Listen to me. God knows what He's doing when He calls people. And now, those of you that are under 50 beginning to understand the lights going on, what I'm talking about here. Because God knows stuff from before the world began. He put His hands on you before the world, before you were a glimmer in your father's eye, before your mom became pregnant with you. God knew what He was doing. He knew what He was going to put in you and put you in a position where you could change this world for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake. Jesus Christ had not come to the earth yet. Adam and Eve had not breathed their breath yet. And yet God looked down and said, I'm going to need somebody here. Brother Jamie, how did you get called to preaching the Word? How did you get called? Did you find an ad in a magazine and said, well, that would be interesting?
So I'm trying to pare it down in my mind so you don't accuse me of taking too much time. Saved very early on a Saturday morning, wrapping newspapers for my paper route. Jimmy Swaggart telecast came on, and I don't know what he preached. I don't know what they sang. All I know is I felt the Lord tug at my heart. And before that service was over, I'd given my heart to the Lord. And I'm a pastor's kid. So, shortly after that, an evangelist was coming through our hometown and had some revival services, and somewhere in there I received the baptism in the Holy Ghost. And I never wanted to be a preacher. I had seen things my father went
through. The afflictions of the gospel.
Many are the afflictions of the gospel. And I didn't want nothing to do with it. But I went to sleep one night, or tried to, and the Lord gave me a vision. And I saw myself in a church wearing a black suit with a red tie, standing up behind the pulpit, walking back and forth across the platform, and was preaching the gospel. And I felt the call of the Lord that night. But like you, I wasn't sure. But the next two nights, I had the same vision. Three nights in a row, it settled it in my heart. And that's how I was.
At what age? At what age?
I was 16.
16 years old. My dad had already gone through the military. He'd been in the Air Force. He'd already been in the Air Force and so forth. But on the night he was baptized in the Holy Ghost, he also got called to the ministry, to the chagrin of my mother. Verse 10. Let me read verse 9 again, because I don't want to mix it up. But I thought we needed to pause there to say, because what Paul is saying here by the Holy Spirit, it's real. A guy up here holding a microphone is not doing his job. It's not a job. If it was a job, we'd either been fired or quit a long time ago. One of the things that causes me pause is that we have guys standing behind pulpits treating it like a job. They're called hirelings. And they have no qualms about getting out. Chris said over 1,000 a year resign their credentials. And it's not just getting out of the Assemblies of God. They're getting out of the ministry. Well, honey, I've got news for you. Once you're called, there's no such thing. I guess you can go AWOL, but you'll never be happy, right? There's no joy. You've got to hang in there. Hallelujah. Who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest. You can see it. By the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. One thing about the gospel of Jesus Christ, it's the best message ever. No other religion offers you what Jesus offers you. And that is eternal life, that He will abolish death on your behalf and brought immortality, eternal life to light through this good news, through the gospel. That is one thing that I've held on through my years. I know if nobody comes, I'm still going to preach the best message ever on this planet because it's the best message. If you have two people listening, you might as well give them the best. And the best you can give anybody is the good news of Jesus Christ. Whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. Paul would be the last guy you would send to the Gentiles. He was a Hebrew of a Hebrew, out of the tribe of Benjamin and zealous for the law, not the new way. But when Jesus got a hold of him, he said, nope, Peter's going to the Jews and I'm sending you to the Gentiles. I felt a little bit like that in my first church, that God sent me to the Gentiles. For the which cause I also suffer these things. There is suffering, as Brother Jamie said. I too am a preacher's kid, and there is suffering that goes along with the preaching and teaching of the gospel. Nevertheless, what a word. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed. Hallelujah. And I am persuaded that He's able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. I have never been ashamed to preach Jesus. There are other things that I would be ashamed of, but I've never been ashamed of preaching Jesus. It didn't matter if it was in front of a hostile group or a friendly group like you are here tonight, but I've never been ashamed to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. I've been not believed, I've been mocked, and so forth, which I don't care. And because I know whom I have believed, I know what I'm saying is the truth of the truth. I am convicted that this is the truth. I am convicted. I have convictions that the Word of God is true today as it was when it was written down. when I hear supposed smarty pants talk about the Bible and how it's this and that, and it might not all be there, and da 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 da, and it's just man's way, and these people are talking behind a pulpit of a quote Christian church. The Lord's going to get you for that. I have all the confidence in the world and the world in the Word of God. Hallelujah. It's been true for centuries and centuries, and in the 21st century, it's not going to stop being true. Henceforth, hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed unto thee, that good thing that God called Timothy to, that good thing, keep that good thing. Don't give up. One of the things our generations after my generation, they struggle with the word commitment. And the generation before me, they would go to work for GM or Ford when they were 20 years old, and however old they would retire from there. The company was committed to them, they were committed to the company, so forth, whatever the case might be. Lots of people retired, and they spent their whole career with one company. We ventured out a little bit more of mine. But the generation after us, and I've worked with them, who's got the best offer for me today? That's where I'm headed. And the companies are doing the same thing. Who can fulfill my need for right now? Let's promise them the moon. When we're done with them, we'll just be done with them. It's a commit problem here. But when God commits something to you, did you see this morning? God was committed to Jonah going to Nineveh and preaching. And Jonah going to the ship, headed to Tarshish, all right, didn't stop God from committing that, no, Jonah, you're going to go to Nineveh, all right? Go spend 3 nights. Remember Jesus said there's no sign to be given this generation but the sign of Noah. He spent 3 nights in the belly of the whale. Big fish, really. He was committed that Jonah needed to go. I'm not sure why, but he was committed. I suppose he could have pulled somebody else out and said, you go, Jonah won't go, you go. But he was committed. I'm driving at something here today. God has committed to us some ministry. And we've got to be faithful to it. That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. If you just take a few minutes now to listen to me carefully, if I had the 50-year-olds right up here, I would get down there and get right in front of them. Imagine that if you can. Through these last years, the importance of the preaching of God's Word has waned. I've lived through it. In the ministry, I've lived through it. First, it was music. Music came to dominate the Christian scene. I'm confining my words to full gospel churches. And how many remember Hosanna music and Integrity music? And they came out with lots of good worship songs and so forth. And they're wonderful. And however, some folks thought, oh, man, we can just do music and it'll be enough. And they would sing for an hour and 15 minutes, give the preacher 15 minutes if he shouldn't go longer than that because people were wore out from singing. And the preaching of God's Word waned. And it didn't stop waning. Now, it's not music, it's fun. Fun has become the hallmark of the contemporary church. You've got to go to church to have fun. Let's have fun at church. Whoo! Let's get something tickled while we're at church. And so we've advertised fun at church. Come, your whole family can have fun at church. Am I against fun? No, I'm not against fun. Only when it takes the place of the Word of God. prayer left a long time ago. I said prayer, once again, I'm talking about full gospel or Pentecostal churches. Prayer left a long time ago. But it's the lifeblood of the Church of Jesus. Prayer was the lifeblood of Jesus himself. But out of prayer and seeking the face of the Lord, God unfolded his plan to make sure the real gospel would be published through all the lands. Let me say, out of prayer and people seeking the face of the Lord, God unfolded his plan that he had before the world began to get the gospel everywhere. And you know who used it? He didn't use angels to do that. He used people like Jonah to do that. And he said, listen, I need you to go to Nineveh. The angels couldn't do it at Sodom and Gomorrah. But I need somebody that will go and preach a 5-second sermon in Nineveh. Now I'm talking about our own fellowship because I'm not as familiar with other full gospel fellowships like the Church of God or the Pentecostal Church of God. I am familiar with the Assemblies of God. We used to have institutes and colleges for the specific reason to train people for public ministry. Cece and I went to the same one. Jamie went down there in Tennessee to Lee University. Specifically, it was a narrow thing. I mean, you had two, either you majored in music or you majored in preaching. That's what you got to do, all right? There was not a lot of other things to major in. Why? Because our concern was to get the gospel out to the masses. Whether it was domestic or foreign, we had to get the gospel out. I'm not complaining, I'm just telling you. Now they are folded into a university format. The latest one is the closest one to us here in Texas, Wachahatchee, Texas. It's now no longer Southwestern Bible, it's Nelson University. And I respect P.C. Nelson, it's named after P.C. Nelson, but it's Nelson University. And if you go to Lakeland, Florida, it'll be Southeastern University. University, university. You say, well, what's wrong with the university? Because it does not have anything specific. Central Bible Institute and Central Bible College no longer exist. It was folded into Evangel University. And although we have the AGTS, the Theological Seminary, that's folded also into Evangel University. And you're saying, well, what's so wrong with that? Because we no longer concentrate on training people for public ministry. We have one left. It's North Point. And we didn't even start that one. It used to be Zion Bible Institute. So my short question tonight is this. Where are we going to get true blue, Holy Ghost filled and fired preachers of the gospel? Where are they going to come from? Are they going to come from our universities? Whose parents have complained, I send them to an AG university and they come back not believing in God? Is that where they're going to come from? Are they going to come from the large churches that surround us here? Whose major is making church fun? Are Holy Ghost preachers going to come out of that environment? I am gravely concerned about what is going to happen to the next generation and the next generation of people who love Jesus and are filled with the Holy Ghost. Are we going to have any? Jesus said in Luke 18, when I get back, will I find faith on this earth? So where are they going to come from? Are they going to come from the church to celebrate Superheroes Day? Superheroes Day, Marvel Comics, heroes, Superman, Batman, whoever other man's there is. And they set aside a Sunday to celebrate them. Is it from the church that is more interested in how their NFL team does than the gospel? Is that where Holy Ghost preachers are going to come from? Are they going to come from the churches that blast secular music in the foyer in order to attract people? Is it going to come from the churches that offer alcoholic beverages? And alcoholic beverages are served in their, quote, Bible studies throughout the week. Is that where Holy Ghost preachers are going to come from? You know the answer. We're in trouble. The Assemblies of God average pastor's age is 71 years old. True Pentecostal churches produce Pentecostal preachers. Now, how many of them do you know in this city? How many can you name in this city? 10, 15, 20? 3? 2? Who's going to produce Pentecostal preachers? Will it be Church on the Green? One of our sister churches? I don't know what their average age is, but it's higher than ours. Is it going to come from another Sun City church that has all I was going to say blue hairs, so that's an old term. White hairs? Not gray, white. Is that where they're going to come from? I tell you, I'm a little emotional right now because I'm looking down the road and I'm seeing trouble. Do you believe this to be a Pentecostal church, a true one? Then God should be calling young people out of this church to become the next generation standard bearers of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the full gospel, where you get saved, you get baptized in the Holy Ghost with the initial physical evidence of speaking with other tongues, and then you walk and talk in the Spirit. You walk with Jesus. You forsake your old ways. You repent of your sin, and you walk a righteous life out. You don't have a wife and a girlfriend. You just have a wife. It got a little... In Romans 10:13, it says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on Him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they preach except they be sent? The older we get, there is an onus on me to help others be sent. We don't call them. And listen to me carefully. I don't want to put ideas in people's minds. We've already have enough bad pastors and preachers. And if you don't belong, if God hasn't called you, I'm not trying to call you outside of God's calling. That would be ridiculous. But how can they preach except they be sent? We have to go along with our age group. And as we get older, though I've been preaching for many years, and there's several of us here that have preached many years, we have to start looking down the road and say, I have got to be a sender. As it is written, how beautiful, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. I'm asking you younger people here tonight, we probably have enough of the other professions. We probably have enough engineers. We probably have enough mailmen. We probably have enough people who work on collisions of cars. We probably have enough managers in our large corporations. We might have enough nurses and doctors. We might have enough lawyers. But I'm sure of one thing. We don't have enough Pentecostal preachers. I am not here to put ideas in your minds, but I stand here in Christ's stead pleading with you for this. Would you folks here at least tell the Lord that you are available? Would you at least tell the Lord that you are available? Would anybody here make the Lord say no? Lord, I'm here. Use me for your glory. Make him say no, no. Are you telling me God has quit calling young people to the full gospel ministry? Is this what I am supposed to believe? Now, granted, because we have fun now in camps and we have fun at youth convention. It used to be a hotbed where we would go to the altar at our youth conventions and it would be 10 deep around the altar and we'd weep before the Lord. And when we got up out of that altar, there'd be 100 preachers. They weren't preachers when they went to the altar, but when they got up from that altar, there were preachers. Are you telling me God has forsaken us? That God has forsaken Phoenix, Arizona, that He doesn't have the next generation of Pentecostal preachers, and you're supposed to rely on people like me? I don't believe it for a minute. Would you talk to Him? Would you say, here I am? You might not be smart. You might be a genius. Here I am. You might have experience in the ministry. You might not have any. But would you say, here I am? Isaiah said it. He had the vision of God in the holy place. You remember in Isaiah chapter 6. He took that coal off the altar. You see, that's what happened at youth convention. When we went to the altar, God would take the coals off the altar and we put it on the lips of young people. And when they came away, they had a holy, sanctified calling on their life that nobody could take it. Their parents can't take it away. Their grandparents can't take it away. Nobody can take it away. God has called me, and that's what I'm doing. When Isaiah got done with his experience, all he said is, here am I. Send me. If you would come, please, Sister Dale, to the piano. I'm not calling anyone out tonight. Well, maybe I am. If they don't come from Pentecostal churches, where are they coming from? I know where Timothy is, Deborah Ellen. Someone say that the true classical Pentecostal is a dinosaur and will die out with this generation. It's already, they are saying, it's already pretty much dead from the generation before mine. That I'm a hanger on. And after us, it'll be gone. We'll all be cool. And we'll all know how to do church to attract people to it. I disagree. I think we're alligators. We've been around a very long time, and we're going to be here till Jesus comes. We might look a little old, but the Holy Ghost has always been cutting edge. But we are desperate for 20-year-olds, 30-year-olds, 40-year-olds to preach the full gospel. You know the son, my son's Matthew's story. He already had two children before he submitted to the call. In his 30s, he had fought it. Now, Matthew was called when he was 11 years old. He confessed it publicly. In the fires of revival, he confessed it. And I put up with a lot of his carousing and stuff. I just put up with it. But in my prayer time, I said, Lord, when are you going to go get Matt? When are you going to go get him? God's a stubborn God. He doesn't give up easy. And tonight, before we came, I listened to that young man preaching his guts out for the gospel of Jesus Christ. We need people that will preach the full gospel. I'm going to ask the younger people here. I don't know if I want to use the number 50 or not. And I'm not trying to apply human pressure here. I just know what the Holy Ghost has pressed on me. The Holy Ghost just keeps pressing on me and pressing on me. You need to tell them. You need to tell them to make themselves available. And so that's what I'm doing tonight. But if you're here tonight, if you're here tonight and you're younger than 100 or whatever, but especially if you're 20, if you're a teenager, 20s, 30s, or 40s, I want you to think long and hard right now. Would you make yourself available to the Lord? Would you ask the question one more time? Maybe you've asked Him before, but would you ask Him one more time, Lord, what do You have for my life? I will be part of the spreading of this gospel. I don't care if you have a master's degree in something else and you'll have to start over in the education. So what? So what? We need somebody to send. I want you to get up out of your chair. I want you to come to this altar right now. Right now. Don't wait for somebody else. Just say, I'm going to make myself available. I refuse to let my generation go. Come quickly. You're not answering the call to ministry. You're answering the call that I make myself available. If you have a relative at this altar, or if you don't, but if you have a relative at this altar, I want you to get down here and I want you to lay your hands on them. Some of you are parents, some of you are grandparents, and you need to release them into the hands of the Lord. Come on, come down here. Put your hands on these young people. I feel the Holy Ghost right now. Hallelujah. And then come from all over. Make sure everybody has somebody praying for them. Holy Spirit, we bow ourselves before You. We are not captains of our own destiny. We belong to You. And however You want to use us, oh God, tonight, speak to us clearly that we might know the way. That we might know the way to go. Hallelujah. That we will not withhold anything You call us to. If you're watching via Facebook or YouTube,
and you're a young person here tonight, get down on your knees right now, wherever you are, in your bedroom or in your living room. Wherever you are, get down on your knees and ask God, here I am, here I am. If you want to send me, I'll go. We make our sons and daughters available to you. We make our children and grandchildren available to you, O God. Holy Ghost power. Holy Ghost power. Holy Ghost power. Tell him, folks, tell him you're available. Here I am, Lord. I'll stop everything I'm doing right now so I can obey you. I don't care what happens. I know you'll be with me. Come on, offer yourself as a living sacrifice tonight. Jesus. Hallelujah. Spirit speaks to me, with my whole heart I'll agree, and my answer will be yes, Lord, yes. Yes, Lord, yes, to your will and to your way, I'll say yes. Lord, yes, I will trust you and obey when your Spirit speaks to me. With my whole heart I'll agree. And
sing it again.
And I'll say
yes,
Lord, yes, to your will and to your way. I'll say yes, Lord, yes, I will trust you and obey. When your Spirit speaks to me, with my whole heart I'll agree, and my answer will be yes, Lord.
Sing it again, sing it again.
And I'll say yes, Lord, yes, to your will and to your way. I'll say yes, Lord, yes, I will trust you and obey. When your Spirit speaks to me, with my whole heart I'll agree, and my answer will be yes, Lord, yes. Answer will be yes, Lord, yes.
Some of you at this altar already know. You already know. Some of you are called to the ministry. Some of you are not. But you are, many of you, I should say, you already know deep down in your heart. And you had doubts because of the practicality of it and all of those things. Some of you, God's going to call you to just be His light to shine. But there are others that the Lord is calling you to present the gospel to a lost world. Please don't deny it. Don't let the devil steal it from you. Maybe you'll have to have a dream three nights in a row. I don't know. But let me tell you, God will use every last one of you. Anybody who's made themselves available to the Lord, He will use. Hallelujah. 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 Just stand together with me. All right, Tim, would you take the piano bench, please? We're going to sing what we sang this morning, Jesus, Use Me. And oh, Lord, don't refuse me.
The Lord has called her into death ministry. And I'm going to tell you a little about me. I was a music teacher at a university. Whenever God called me to preach, He said, will you feed my deaf sheep? Second time, will you feed my deaf sheep? I thought, no, oh Lord, I'm 50 years old. How can I do that? Third time, American Express called me down and said they'll pay for all my classes at Phoenix College if I will learn sign language to train the deaf. It went from there, the deaf school and everything. But the Lord has called me. I'm going to mentor her, love her, teach her.
Amen. Hallelujah. Lord, use the Lisa for your glory to bring many, many people into your kingdom. Hallelujah. Hundreds. Hundreds. Oh, Jesus, use me. And oh, Lord, don't refuse me. Surely there's a work that I can do. And even though it's humble, Lord, help my will to crumble. Though the cost be great, I'll work for you.